Welcome back. I'm your host, Ken Martinez, in our latest episode of West Coast XE. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching on YouTube, if you wouldn't mind pressing on the subscribe button and subscribing, and if you're listening on Apple Podcast, or if you're listening on Spotify, if you could give us a follow, that'd be awesome. In today's episode, we're going to be talking to three people that spent time at the different state meets on the West Coast. We're going to be talking to Coach Albert Kawana of Crystal Uplands. He'll be talking about the California State Meet. Then we'll talk to Thor Espenson. He's the head coach at Ida B. Wells in Portland. And he'll talk about the Oregon State Meet. And then lastly, we'll go up I-5 to Washington, where photographer John Decker was there to shoot pictures at the Washington State Meet. And he'll go over the distance races up in Washington. I was at a number of state meets this weekend. I was there Thursday at the Washington State Meet for the 1600. Those pictures are on our website at westcoastxe.com. Then I went to California and I took pictures of the prelims and the finals on westcoastxe.com. I had a friend who teaches at Sunset, and her name's Ellie, and she took pictures of the 3000 4A through 6A Friday. And I included her pictures in our gallery. My wife and my daughter went on Saturday and took photos. And then Russell Moore helped me take pictures on Friday and Saturday at the Washington State Meet. You can go to his Instagram account and go to his bio and link up to his gallery also. So lots of photos. I also took pictures of the throws and the jumps and the sprints and the hurdles, and I have that in my gallery also for California. So all those are choices for people to download if they'd like to do that. So now we're going to head over and talk to first we'll talk to Albert about California. Well, we're happy to have Coach Albert Kawana on again. He was on last week to preview this California State Meet. He's here to recap it for us. Hey, Coach, thanks for coming back on.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've been enjoying these podcasts.
I am too, so I really appreciate you coming on. And Coach Kawana is the head coach at Crystal Springs Uplands, and he had a couple of kids compete this weekend. And he's also the editor-in-chief of the Cross Country Express that you can catch online and has just tons of good information, highlights of the season, coaches' interviews, athlete interviews, just great stuff. So, Coach, Crystal Springs, I took my high school cross-country team from Oregon to Crystal Springs in 2009. And, you know, I grew up in California, and we know when I was coaching, you try to find the hardest course you can possibly, for your dual meet, you know, you just wanted to have the hilliest courses. And in Oregon, we don't really do those kind of courses. And so my kids were like, what are we doing here? Crystal Springs starts with a downhill race. I mean, it's just like,
whoop. Yeah.
And you were on the Crystal Springs course today. Why was that?
So course designers, and actually the main guy that took care of the course for many, many years is Bob Rush. And I believe today he turned 90 years old. So they had a celebration for him. Lots of older coaches and his family was there. So Bob, I missed it because I had a faculty meeting today and I got there as soon as I can, but apparently I thought the plan was for him to walk the course, but you know, Bob is 90 and I think that would have been, that would have been tough. So I believe he just did like the last stretch of the course and you know, it was a great event. It was great to see Bob. He's doing great. You know, I always feel like anybody who makes it to 90, they've lived a full life, and Bob, definitely, you know, we're in this area, we're very thankful for all the work that he did in maintaining the course. There's no other course in California like it that has not changed. You know, many courses on campuses, you know, buildings go up and all of a sudden you gotta go around a building, and so your dad might have run this course when it was like here and now it's this. Well, at the Crystal Springs course, you have fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, mothers, sons who've run the course, and it's the exact same course it's been since 1972. So that was the event today. It was great.
That's cool. You were at the state meet, and I thought we'd go through Saturday's finals from the 16 down to the last race, the 3200. So we had the girls 1600 meters race, close race.
Great way to start the distance portion of the meet. I thought Braylon Combe was really coming on, and she ended up winning. Great race with Hannah Thompson. Hannah Thompson, as she showed later on in the meet, super fit, and I think they were separated by 0.05,
It was close.
and really close race. And it looked like Braylon was looked like she tripped as she was heading toward the finish line, but she managed to get in front of Hannah. So I mean, two girls going 4:35, great duel up front. And last year she got second, and she gets first this year. But Hannah, I believe she doubled a couple of years ago. This was her first year. She didn't double last year, but doubled this year. And 4:35, big time for her. And great race.
Correct. Really great race. I want to mention, I don't, not a weatherman, but my car said it was 104 on the way over there. My phone said it was 102. Well, let's just say it's somewhere between 102 and 104 at race time. It was hot.
I was driving the van toward the meet, and it said 110. And luckily, the kids in the car couldn't see that number. I think I was kind of like sliding over so they wouldn't see like 110. And but th so this was the amazing part, was if it was over 100 degrees like in our area, we would be just be like melting. And it seemed like, I don't know, maybe it wasn't humid, but. And I think coaches and kids did a really good job of staying in the shade, making sure their kids were hydrated. And if you look at the performances, they really were not affected by the heat.
No, and you'll talk about Hannah later. She just does this incredible double, which you would
Yeah.
think would not work out for you after doing a 435 and a
Yeah.
104 heat. And then the prelims the day before, kids ran very fast to get to the 800 and the 1600 final. Did
Right.
not seem affected by the heat. It was hot the day before too. It was
Yeah.
99 or 100 degrees. So.
And I think a couple of years ago the temperature was about the same, and they moved, I believe, the final back a few hours, and there was no such talk this year of any
I didn't
kind. I
see
didn't
anything.
see anything. So, I mean, Buchanan, great facility. Unfortunately, it does get hot sometimes, and we did get that this year, but it definitely did not affect the performances.
Now, in the boys 1600, you had a vested interest because one of your athletes was doing an all-out sprint with 300 meters to go. It was incredible.
Yeah, I think when you looked, I thought he had the toughest heat going at the trial. So Ben had won CCS. He had the Southern Section champion in his heat. He had the Norco Section champion in his heat. He had the second place finisher in Sac Joaquin Section, and the runner from Trabuco Hills, Dylan, was also who's run, I believe, 407 this year. So I thought he had the toughest heat. He ended up making through. I looked at all the heats, and I thought, based on like Grant Miller, how he kicks and wins races, I thought he was going to be a threat. And Connor Lott looked really easy in the first heat. So I thought it might come down between those three runners. It turned into a duel with Connor and Ben. And Connor got away from him, probably like in the last 200. So Connor ended up running, let's see, the fourth fastest time in state meet history. So the first one is German Fernandez ran 4:29. Then Jansen Osher ran 4:00.83. Ryan Hall in 2001 ran 4:02.62. And now Connor Lott, that's the fourth fastest winning time in state history. So he ran 4:03.32, and Ben ran the second fast time for a second place finisher in history. Only Elias Gedeon in 2011 ran faster than Ben, and he ran 4:04.04. So Great duel.
Great
The
duel.
Buchanan
They were
kid.
doing an all-out sprint with 300 meters to go. It looked like to me they were sprinting.
They were going at it. I mean, like I told Ben, he ran a PR. It's actually a CCS record,
Great.
and Connor just ran a little better. And sometimes you got to give credit to the other runner. So
Yeah.
there was no like shame in getting
No.
second, So that was a great race.
Great race. Connor is a junior, so we can hope for more from him next year. So that's pretty exciting. And then we go to the middle of the meet where we have the girls 800. Boy, dominant.
So before, if you looked at all the distance races, I think you can look at all the different races and go, well, there's a couple here, a couple there, and this. But in the 800, it was very clear there was like one favorite, and she dominated the race. So McKenna Herbst from Carlsbad ran 202.28. It's a second fast time in California history. Only Amy Weisenbach of Harvard Westlake ran faster, and she also did it at the state meet, ran 202.04. So I mean, there was no drama on who the winner was going to be, pretty clear that she was going after the record in that race, because the gun went off, she took off, and it was over.
Yeah, I think she ran a 59 first lap. And then, I don't know, 10 minutes later, her sister's a state champion in the 300 hurdles and sets a record, second fastest in the history of high school running out of the.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm just, they're twins and they're in the same family. And you have two state champions within 20 minutes of each other. It's amazing.
Well, for a long time, 40.18 was, I think it was 40.28, but that was the national record. And but she ran 39.64, pretty impressive.
Very impressive. And then the boys 800, we thought that might be probably the most competitive of all the different races that we were distance races. And it turned out to be that way. You just had this line of boys coming to the finish. It was pretty exciting.
I would say probably it was one of the most competitive races. I thought Obando would win just because of his kick, what he did at the CERN section meet, what he did in the 4x8. So he ended up winning, but Lucas Alberts from Jesuit ran a great race. He almost stole it. I mean, he was in the back, literally. I think he was in the back when the race started out, and he moved his way up, ran a really smart race. And then going into the home stretch, it seemed like he was shot out of a cannon, but Obando went with him and then just edged him out. But I believe there was four guys at 151, great depth. I think Rich Gonzalez may have mentioned this, how the 4x8 has made the 800 tougher, because now you have more kids running the 800. So, I had a kid a few years ago who made the final at 153. Now 153, you don't even it took a lot faster time to make the final. So there's definitely an evolution of the 800 in California.
Wow. So then, speaking of the 800, we go, it gets dark, it's the 4x800, and pretty a very close finish in the 4x8 for the girls.
Well, both the girls and the boys, you ended up with some really fast times. So once again, I think the 4x8 is going to continue to get faster, and eventually, I believe there'll be trials. There'll be more teams from the CERN section making the state meet, so that's going to make it a more competitive meet, and it's going to continue to get faster. But Santiago Corona ended up winning. They set a state meet record. They went 8:49.01. So Braylon Combe ended up anchoring their team, and pretty impressive that they can win the state meet without one of the top runners in the state, so pretty deep team.
Yeah, Riley Bladet was getting ready for the 3200. Would have been an outstanding 800 meter runner.
I'm sure she would have been fine. And then so Jay Serra got second. They ran the third fastest time ever in California history. St. Francis was third. Clovis North
Sabrina
was.
Zanetto, she seemed thrilled. I was at the finish line. She was super happy.
Yeah, and so there was four teams that broke 9 minutes, and crazy depth. I mean, 11th place was 904.
Wow.
So it's definitely the race is going to continue. What a great addition. I'm sure Oregon is still very jealous.
You were very jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want it.
And then the boys, Jay Serra ended up winning. They ran 7:33:43, second fast time in California history, only trailing Long Beach Poly that ran 7:28:75. And then MiraCosta got second. They ran the fifth fast time in California history, 7:35:15. And Oaks Christian, I believe they have the sixth fastest time. They ran
Wow.
7:35:94. Just a couple of years ago, 7:39 won it. And this year, there was these teams that were faster than that. So super competitive race and another great field.
Great field. Then we get to the girls 3200, and we've talked about this before. We have three defending state champions still active in high school, and you have a bunch of other young ladies that are could be a new champion. So that was kind of a compelling.
Yeah. So, like we said before, three former state champions. Hannah Thompson, was one of the girls that doubled back, and it turned into a great duel between her and Riley Blade, and she managed to get away from her in the last lap, and so she ended up running 4:35:69 in the 1600, and then came back and doubled back to run 9:48:98, which I'm pretty positive that's a PR for her. Riley Blade was 9:50. Just a great duel between two really good runners.
Still pretty hot. I mean, the sun's down, but it's still
Yeah.
hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was super exciting. Yeah, it was a great, the two of them, they just ran amazing. And again, I'm just like completely impressed that she can double back from that really hard. I mean, she fell to the
Yeah.
ground. It was a hard all-out effort in the 1600, and then hydrates and recovers and runs this great 3200.
Yeah, I mean it was definitely very ambitious, but she ended up, she was as close as you can get to, she almost won the 1600 and then great effort in the 3200. So pretty, I'm sure she's going to run in a postseason meet or two, but what a great way to end her official California season.
In the boys race, I didn't realize that one of the top runners wasn't in the race till about two laps left in the race.
Yeah.
I'm looking through my lens, I'm just cranking pictures, and I'm like, wait a minute, something doesn't feel right
Yeah.
here.
Right. So I started getting some texts, and somebody goes, "Where's Evan? Where's Evan?" And then people around, I hear them like, "Where's Evan Noonan?" And obviously, they wear the blue and white
Yeah,
striped
pretty easy to
top.
find. Yeah.
Very, very easy to see, and he was nowhere to be seen. Apparently, he got a ate something that really upset his stomach, and he had some sort of stomach virus, I believe. So,
That's too bad.
I think, I mean, if you look at the results now, I mean, it would have probably been a three-person battle, but I think the race would have been a lot different if Evan was in the race, because without him, it turned into a very tactical race, and more people were in it. And but in the end, it basically turned into a repeat of the cross country division 5 race,
Did.
where Turk beat Landon Pretry. In cross country, they ended up running the first and second fast time in California, and then once again in the 3200. Turk won, so pretty impressive double for him to win, to be the fast guy in cross country and then win the 3200 in track. And very unfortunate that Evan didn't race. I think the race would have been a lot different. I think the race would have been faster, and it would have definitely changed. I don't know the outcome, but Evan handled Turk pretty easily in the southern section. So it would have been interesting if he was in there.
Yeah, I was looking through my lens, and I could just, think it's not going out very fast when you see the entire field. in your lens. You know, they're out. In fact, I was on my knees, I think in lane five, and I went, oh my gosh, I got to get out of lane five.
Yeah.
Cause they're, you know, they're so clumped together. And I, it was like, okay, I'm too close. There's so many kids at the first couple laps. It was very tactical at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, it was a great meet. It was super fun. And, yeah, it was hot. You know what, coach? When I was coaching kids, I was always telling them to hydrate like 24 hours in advance.
Yeah.
And I didn't do that on Friday. And I could really feel it. I was struggling on Friday. It was about
Yeah.
5 degrees hotter on Saturday. I did much better because I hydrated. Like when I got back from the meet Friday night, I just started hydrating, you
Yeah.
know, and I felt so much better. So that's the key, athletes. Hydrate way in advance.
Right. And you know, especially the kids that are doubling, I mean, you have to think about, you know, it's not only hydrating, but it's also eating carbs and making sure you're properly fueled. And after you finish your race, you got to eat something and get more fluids in, and then you have to kind of time your warm up. You know, maybe you don't need as much to warm up,
Yeah.
and then you know how much are you going to cool down, how much you're going to warm up for the second race. So it definitely there had to be some planning, and I know there were teams that possibly shuttled athletes from their hotel to the track and didn't shuttle everybody. And because they didn't want their kids being there the whole time. And like for us, after we were done with the 1600 races, like we went back to our hotel. Normally we stay and watch
Right.
trial races, but I don't want to have my runners being there in the stands, you know. So you definitely have to plan, you know, for those for those kind of temperatures and how you know what time you're getting up in the morning and what time we're going to the meet. So it was interesting. It definitely did not slow down the meet. Obviously, I guess there was a controversial 100-meter race that they're still debating about the time.
Yeah, I'm sort of yes. He ran 10:01. Apparently, he looked good. By the way, I was trying to take pictures of the
Yeah.
pole vault, and I wasn't able to take a picture of it. So I just looked over and saw him. He looked so good. He was way
Yeah.
ahead of everybody.
Yeah. So I don't know. There've been people who've like analyzed the Zapruder tape, I think.
Oh
And
no.
yeah, and like on prep Caltrack, you know, you have this time up and it's like crossed out and it's under investigation, and apparently the CIF is accepting the time. So I mean, you know, Sean is like one of the top timers in the country, and I haven't spoken to him about that. So, but that certainly was interesting. I mean, the only thing I could say is, Jay, I think his name Jaden Jefferson. He ran 10:01, you know, and whether that's in question or not, he came back the next day and won the race.
He won
So.
the race. He did. He did. Yeah. And I was glad he did because I didn't get his photo the day before. So look, I'm like, okay, good. I got him. But it was close too. He didn't win it. You know, it wasn't until
Yeah.
till a few seconds after the race. We had a lot of close races in the sprints and the
But
distance
right.
races. We had to
So
wait.
yeah. So one thing when you're coaching, you're you know, sometimes you're with your athletes and you're preparing for the race. So I didn't get a chance to watch a couple of races, but after the whole meet was over, everybody was talking about the boys 4x4 and just a crazy finish, and I had to go back and watch it on video. But I mean, there was just, you know, the boys 200, all
Yeah, the
those
boys four
kids.
by four had an
Yeah.
incredible finish, and it seemed like all Servite has to do is finish in the top five, and
Right.
they did. But boy, there's other teams coming on. It was like, ooh.
Yeah. I mean, Servite wins the team title with primarily freshmen. I
It's
mean, it's like,
amazing. Yeah.
I mean, it's unheard of in the boys.
Right, girls maybe, but not boys. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I thought based on the weather, the competition, all that, I thought they were gonna have a shot to break 40. They ran 40.00 at Arcadia, but yeah, that's a scary team to win a state title with all those freshmen
Yeah.
and
They're going to
like
get bigger and stronger and faster. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see them get better.
yeah.
Well, coach, I sure appreciate you coming on, and fitting us in your schedule and talking about the state meet. We'll have you on again. You're an excellent resource. And I know you're now the track season's over, you're starting to think about summer practice and recruiting kids out for the fall. And here we go again. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a great summer, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, we're happy to have Thor Espenson of Ida B. Wells. And Coach went up to down to Eugene for the state meet. Watched the 4A, 5A, 6A. We're going to ask him about the distance events in the 4A, 5A, 6A and some of the highlights that he saw over the weekend. Coach.
Hey, thanks for having me back. It's great to see you again. I appreciate the opportunity to re-engage.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear. I was in California for the state meet, and I would check on the results and go, whoa, all this. And one's not even a distance event. Was it a hurdler that did a tumble and won?
Oh, my gosh. There were so many sub-stories that were wild. Yes, the hurdler, she had a commanding lead and hit the last hurdle. And obviously it was falling, but it was like a Chevy Chase skit, fell into a forward roll. And instead of getting up and running through the line, like popped up and rolled again.
It looked like the second roll was intentional. It was the best way for her to get across the line, which is, Thor, I lack athletic ability. I don't know if I could do that. That should get extra points there.
I absolutely. It reminded me of just that absolute body awareness. The football player for the Philadelphia Eagles that got spun around and did a reverse hurdle over the defensive back trying to tackle, just like that natural awareness, like this is my best course of action. Just watching athletes be athletes is pretty fun.
Best course of action was just to do another tumble and then make it and win it. Well, anyway, we'll get to the distance events. What were some of your highlights?
So in the distance events, there were some, there was a lot of competition. I think for me, should I lead off with the number ones or finish?
Yeah, go for it any way you like.
So, if it's okay, would it be okay to talk about the 3A state title?
Yes, absolutely. Did you see it or you just read about it?
I unfortunately had to take our team back to our hotel and do parental coach duty at the hotel, but I was watching live on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So this came down to two powerhouse teams this year, Burns, Oregon and Sayus Law, were battling it out across all kinds of event areas, scoring massive points. And Burns goes into the 4x4 up by 1 point over Sayusla. So long story short, if Burns wins the 4x4, they win the meet. If Sayusla wins the 4x4, they win the meet.
Wow.
So all chips are on the table.
So it doesn't matter if you finish, one finishes fifth, one finishes third. It's just you've got to win it.
It would, it came down to it. I mean, the mathematics could boil down. Sayusla had the number one team, and Burns essentially had the number two best team.
Okay.
And so that's what it's. The problem for Sayusla was they were in the slow heat because of a time they posted at their district meet.
They're in a separate heat. Okay.
So Sayusla comes out 50 point, 50 point, 50 point, 49 point, 322. Meet record for 3A
in the slow heat.
Solo.
Wow.
So then Burns comes out, and forgive me, I don't remember the exact splits at the beginning. It was like 52, 51, and I'm watching it online. I'm like, okay, they're out. Sayusa wins. Then they drop a 49, 48. So now they run 322 as well.
Oh gosh!
Sayusla in the slow heat runs 322.4, and Burns runs 322.6. Sayusla state champions by 0.2 from the slow heat.
Wow, that's nuts!
And then just get your mind spinning. What if they were in the same heat? You know, how would you? Would you? Right. Would you have done the order? Would you have?
Yeah. I mean, you wonder if they could reshuffle it next time. Say, hey, listen, these two teams are going at it. We're gonna, but then I guess one team gets bumped to a lower heat, and they're not probably happy. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Logistically, cool. I'd like to see the 4x4s maybe be seated by season best because it's such a big impact where the other events aren't impacted as much, but
right.
For another, I just thought that was just a great storyline that came
That's
out of
a great storyline.
Emily, we talked about this last week. Emily Wisniewski with her fourth 3000 title.
Yeah.
That was just cool. That's hard.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been done before.
There was a Tualatin runner in 2000. Was that five? I think she may have done it.
Okay.
I'll have to look back. I think she did all four. I think she won all four in cross country.
Mm-hmm. Well, Emily won eight now, right? She won the four cross country races and the four track races.
Amazing.
That's amazing. Well, yeah, she ran a pretty good time too, like 9:39. It was a really good time.
Yeah, and her patience was fantastic. Her patience went kind of holding back. She was kind of, back in the pack a little bit. There were some battles going on up front. And then you start hearing the announcer going, okay, Emily Wisniewski starting to wind up, and just started like closing the gap, and then secures the victory, which was that's fun. I liked the narrative. I liked the buildup. It was and obviously hats off to Emily for a wonderful career. We talked about that last week about what a cool sign off that would be.
That would be great.
Yeah. We talked last week too about Chloe Hyler in the 3000 seemed to kind of have things that was maybe one of the more obvious betting lines were there to be in high school, but she really in the 3000 went out there and she just ran.
Yeah.
She just ran and was a very 9:25 in the 3000. She's run 9:17, but at the state meet with the competition she was going up against, just a very dominant performance. And I think the doubling back with the 15, with another dominant win, 6 seconds in the 15, was fantastic. And I know there's some illnesses going around and things like that that impacted some of the other performances, but hard to take away or overshadow what, Chloe was able to do just physically, just exert herself. Was very impressive. So, we were expecting, but fun to see.
Yeah, Oregon has outstanding athletes. So it wasn't like it was, on paper going to be a dominant weekend for her. She would be challenged, and so that's really impressive.
Well, in the 15, yeah, she had to go up against Ellery Lincoln from Lincoln, coming in with a 4:21. Sophia Malinowski, who is ended up being the state champion in the 800. Who ran a 209, she split 57 or she has run 57 in the open four, and for Chloe to kind of go out there and kind of run away and assert herself, that's hard to do. I mean, that you kind of put the pressure on yourself when you go out there and it wasn't that she was going to just run away from these other women, but she felt that was her best shot and it worked. And it's cool to see that. It was cool to see that play out well.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary. That's scary to kind of, be out there on your own here in footsteps for while you're up there.
Where's Chloe going next year?
Oh my gosh. That's an awesome question. I apologize, Ken. I do know.
No, I should put you on the spot. I want to say, is it Notre Dame?
Yes.
Yes, she's going to Notre Dame. There we go. Sorry about that. And her sister's going someplace different. Amazing too. I'll Google that too. Oh,
Well, and roll into the storyline that she's got a twin who's an amazing runner, amazing athlete, doing incredible things. And she third 800, fifth in the 15. It was just,
Chloe's going to Notre Dame and Hannah's going to Vanderbilt. As a parent, you can't but be happy for those schools. You know what I mean? Like, those are good schools.
Those sound very academic to me.
Right.
Good stuff. Then I think Tavon has to be mentioned. Kitchens, we talked about him last week too. The Crater Kid, in the 3000 on Friday morning, kind of like we talked about, the gun went off and he just went to work and just was pounding out lap after lap after lap. And Hayden Boaz from Summit, an NXN qualifier in cross, you know, made a great effort to kind of like, hey, maybe I can hang with him. But Tavon just put down a crushing, just rhythmic. I mean, it was just, you know, you go almost like feel his footsteps every time he was running down that track and just, you know, and ends up running 7:58, going sub 8 at the state meet. It was really, you know, kind of a glorified time trial. He just went out there and just hammered, and it was cool. There was a little bit of a slowdown in lap, you know, 6 and 7, that, you know, as we anticipate,
right?
You know, like, okay, is he going to be able to like handle this pain and pressure, you know? And then, yeah, sure enough, man, that he just reconnected and took off again.
I know that he ran like 801 or 802 at Jesuit Twilight Relays, and that was considered like a big deal.
Yeah, with a pacer to get him through the first half.
Correct. No pacer in the state meet.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Yeah, it was cool to see. Yeah, that was very – yeah, we'll remember that. Yeah, he just went out there and got it done. And, you know, and then came back and ran fantastic. A little bit more tactical in the 1500 with his teammate Josiah. And, you know, so they went 1-2 in the 15. Josiah nipped him in that 15. You know, then Josiah came back in that 800 and won the 800. And his teammate, you know, was fourth. I mean, they were crater athletes all over the place out there too. So, you know, hats off to Justin Loftus down there at Crater. Just pulling distance points all over the place down there.
Yeah. So he has a great culture there. I went to his practice 2 summers ago, and kids are having fun.
Yeah.
Kids are, you know, have a nice, obviously you can't do that unless you have a great culture that Coach Loftus has built there.
Yeah. Something to be really admired. And he's pretty guarded about what they do and how he speaks.
Pretty humble too. You're kind of like, can compliment him. Really? He kind of like, seems a little embarrassed by it all and works really hard. Like, I'm West Coast guy and I'm all over the place. He's all over the same places I'm at, but he's got kids that he has to, like, you know, I don't have to do like a bed check. I just go to sleep, you know. He's got it, you know, he's everywhere with these kids for these opportunities. Not just his two good boys, but all of his kids, you know, and he works really, he's been doing it for a long time. Like, I've been at meets 2010 or 11, and he's at the San Francisco State Invitational during spring break, you know, running, have his kids running unattached. I'm just like, wow, what is going on? He's, that's awesome.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. He is a fantastic coach, a fantastic human. And if you have the chance to get to, you know, interact with him, he's just the greatest. Yeah. Yep. He is great. And he is creating great opportunities for great athletes down there, north of Medford, Oregon, of all places.
Central Point.
Yeah. No disrespect when I say of all places. Just
No. And I'll have to tell you, both my daughters ran cross country, high school cross country. And we'd go visit my brother who lives in Sacramento, my parents in Los Angeles. And we would drive, and we're driving through I-5, and it says Central Point is exit. And I go, and Crater was real, you know, this is back in 2010, 11, 12, when they were in high school. And they would have border clash, and, you know, half the Crater team makes it to border clash. So that, you know, they get to know the Crater kids, you know. And I'm saying, this is Central Point. And both my daughters were like in the backseat of the car going,
Where did it go?
Well, like, what is it? Yeah, what's so, it's like, you know, it's more than the water. It's coaching and kids, right?
Absolutely. You know, and you hear about a lot of these programs with great respect. You know, they've got 3,000 and 4,000 kids in their high school, and they're in these affluent, you know, suburban neighborhoods outside of Chicago, outside of LA, mm-hmm. you know, and then you've got, you know, Central Point, I don't know, are they an affluent suburb of Medford? Is that the way you describe it?
Yeah, Central Point's known for the timber industry, which has declined here in Oregon. You know, it's
Yeah,
it's blue collar.
put 1,200 kids in their school. So anyway,
it's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And it just keeps churning those kids out. And there's a whole new generation coming. We talked about. So then there were some performances that really floored me. I don't know if you had a chance to catch up on some of these. Dylan Wagner from Sherwood had a heck of a meet.
Yeah.
You go to the results and just kind of peruse through, you may not realize it. He won the 1500 and he won the 3000 the day before. On Friday morning, he ran the 3000 and the race was kind of like a lot of testing each other out. There was just a lot of, you know, subtle moves here and there. There was a big pack. We talked about this last week where there were a lot of athletes that were in the mix and they were kind of feeling each other out. And, you know, Malachi Schoner, we talked about last week, broke it open with about, you know, 2,500 meters to go, maybe 800 to go. And Dylan Weiniger ended up coming out on top. He ran two flat for his last 800 in that 3K.
Yeah.
And capped it off with a 56.6 last 400. Just flying.
That's flying.
Just flying. And then came back in the 1500. In the 1500, I think a lot of the kids, again, were just apprehensive to kind of, you know, get things going. There was a lot of opportunity in there to kind of get things going and just not sure, kind of feeling each other out. But about with 650 meters to go, I believe it was, Zafir Korsel from Franklin just blew open that backstretch, just took off. I mean, it was a definitive shot and forced the field to kind of respond. And, you know, Dylan was in eighth place going into the last lap.
Wow.
And finished with a 55.8 last lap to win it. But his last 800 was a 156.8, which is a pretty impressive last 800 of a team.
These kids are running so fast.
Yeah.
I'd be so proud to have a 156 800 meter runner on my team, you know?
Wow. Yeah. And this is his closing 800. So yeah, that stood out to me, you know, to show that closing prowess in both races, you know, just really kind of, you know, cemented him. And, you know, we talked about him and how fast that he had run in his Pacific League, 8:15 in his league.
It didn't affect him because he won both races. We were thinking, well, that might have taken too much out of him.
Yeah. Do you want to do that? Yeah. No, he was fantastic. In the 5A 1500, as a side note, 154 used to be a pretty solid effort, you know, speaking to how fast these kids are getting in the 5A race. Sixth place was 154. You had to be 154 to be in the top six of the 5A race.
5A was pretty stacked.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be like a necessarily like Josiah was 100% going to win that. There's some good defending champions in there and there's some good people in there. So.
Yeah. So those there were some great races. For me, in the distance races, the performance of the meet for me went, we talked about him in the 800 was Bodie Lutz from Marshfield.
Yeah. 150, right?
Yeah. Caught me off guard a little bit. He opened his 800. I was watching for him. He's an athlete I've seen the least out of the ones that we had talked about last week. Mm-hmm. And so he opened with a 56 flat and he was leading by 60 meters at that point. And I was like, okay, let's see, buddy, 56 flat. Can you hold on? And he said, hold my hat. I'll hold on. he accelerated going when he heard the bell, accelerated. So he went 156. He went 56 and then followed that with a 54 for his 150. Wow. He was really trying to run a sub 150 solo, appears to be what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, a very impressive performance. You know, he was well ahead of the field. But I don't know if you caught this. Did you see what he did in the 4x4?
I heard he ran 45.
Yes. So they're going into the 4x4, and they are running against Crook County, and they're kind of a little bit neck and neck with the Anchor Lake. And I don't know what I expected out of Lutz for an Anchor Lake fast. And I don't know exactly what I expected out of Crook County. Forgive me for not remembering the anchor's name. But yeah, they took off with that last handoff and they were in a fight. And Lutz ended up taking the title in that 4x4 with a 45-8, which I think is just cooking.
That's cooking.
I mean, the open 400 in 4A was 50.5, I think.
Oh.
And so here on the anchor, you've got this 800 kid, running a 50, a 45.8, but the Crook County kid ran a 46.9.
Right. He's running fast too.
Yeah, I mean,
It's one of those
just
things where you Cook County kid's like, oh, darn it, I lost. But then what is my split? Oh,
yeah.
okay. I was at the
Yeah.
California State meet and they ran some really fast times. And the kids that finishing third are putting their arms in the air, probably because they're breaking a school record or something, you know? And it's like,
Oh,
not
really?
just, they're happy too. They're running these fast times.
Yes. Yeah, California was crazy for sure.
It was hot. But okay, so
103, I heard.
yeah, it was really hot. It was not good for a photographer who's from that lives in Beaverton. It was hot.
Well, hey, it was a solid 82 up here in Eugene. So Doug Bender and I were pretty warm enough ourselves, so.
Yeah, and then my wife said she came to take pictures with my daughter and said it got a little windy and cloudy towards the end. So
Very, very end. Yeah.
yeah, at the very end. And
That's
so
packing up mostly. Yeah.
yeah. Well, Thor, I appreciate you coming on, and I know it's a busy time for you guys. We're both teachers. It's graduation week here, so I appreciate you spending some time watching the meets and giving us some 3A action too. I also want to maybe point out I saw an Instagram post about Schoolmeister, Sophie Schoolmeister set a record in the 1500 and broke a record, and the official was there. It was a 46-year-old record or something like that.
Yes, yeah. There, I mean, gosh, we could go on for days. Yeah. So Sophie Schoolmeister had a fantastic state meet, winning the 800, running incredibly fast in that 15. I think she was fourth. Was it 4:39? I had it up a minute ago when I was looking at some stuff. Another fantastic performance. Not to go overshadowed at all by the other races. The 15, 441, but well challenged by Valley of the Valley Catholic girl on 4:442. But
Yeah,
then also,
there's several Valley Catholic girls. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and shoot.
Isabel and Jaya, those are, yeah, it's just deep. Oregon's deep. It's
Well, and in
deep.
the boys 3000 at 3A as well. We had an OES kid, Ronan, going up against the Siusla kid, Clayton. And those guys coming down to the last 120 meters, battling it out, both well under, two well seasoned competitors going after each other. It was again another great race, contributing again to Siusla's 1 point win over Burns. If Clayton doesn't pull off that last second kick against the OES, yeah, there were so many great, there were a couple more with the girls 6A 800, the Sunset
Oh yeah,
Naomi
she ran
Caesar.
Naomi Caesars. She ran like 10-2-10. I did. It's really
Yeah,
fast.
it was like a 5 second
Yes.
PR at. In the final of the
Yeah.
state meet,
Yeah. It's
and
crazy.
unfortunately missing Ellery Lincoln due to illness, but yeah, just yeah,
It's
we
called
could go
Hayward Magic, Thor. You know about that. It's a
on.
fantastic place.
Could go on for days of talking about it.
Well, I appreciate it, Thor. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate the time. I wish I had been there. It sounded awesome, like as always. And You have a good graduation week, Kent. And what day is your graduation?
We're Wednesday. We get our team awards on Tuesday. Graduation on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, you got team awards. Yeah, our team awards are tonight. I'm no longer coaching, so I get to do this instead. And then Thursday we graduate also. So yeah. Well, anyway, you have a great rest of your week and get some rest this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ken. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. We're very happy to have a freelance photographer, John Decker, on. He's from the Seattle area. I see him all the time when I'm in this Seattle, Tacoma area to take photos. Hey, John, welcome.
Hey, thanks. How are you doing?
Really great. Thank you. And if you get a chance to go on his Instagram account, it's XCTF Photos. They're beautiful photos. His photos get picked up by Dystad and Youth Runner and other organizations. And of course, John has a long history of being a professional photographer at the New York Times and Sacramento Bee and all those awesome places. Yeah. So John, why photography?
Cause the engineering was too hard. Yeah. I started out in engineering and I decided, I was having more fun working at the school newspaper than I was in my engineering classes. So I decided to, when I graduated from college, to give it a whirl and see if I could make a go of it in the world of journalism, and started out small and worked my way up through a bunch of papers, and had a lot of fun, did it for about 30 years until 2005. And of course newspapers are kind of hurting these days, so kind of got out when it was good. So
I'm one of those strange people that gets the paper delivered to me.
That's great.
Yeah, and they keep sending me emails saying, are you sure? Don't you just want to get it out digitally? I think you're trying to save money from delivery people.
Yeah, probably cost them more money to do
that. Yeah, I'm such a pain. I just love touching the paper and turning the pages.
Getting that ink on your fingers.
Yeah, right? I'm an old school guy, but anyway. Well, John, when you were up in Tacoma at Mount Tahoma High School, you went and you took pictures of the distance events there. What were some of the moments that you remember?
Oh, well, there's always lots of moments to remember at a state meet and kids just having a great time. The 1600 was on Thursday. And I think one of the great races on Thursday was the 4A boys.
Yeah, I actually was there on Thursday, and it was a close battle between the Camas young man and
Cohen Butler from Camas.
Cohen Butler from Camas and Ezra Teeples from Kamaikin.
And Ezra came out on top in that one. He was kind of like sitting back for most of the race, and I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to him. It was like Cohen Butler and some other guys were kind of battling it out in front. And on that last lap, he just put the hammer down and came out in front, and I think he surprised himself and everybody else. I was sitting by the finish line, and he came off and gave his girlfriend a great big hug, and she was like, "You were scaring me there. I wasn't sure you were gonna go for it." But he went for it at the end, and he got it.
That's cool.
So that was pretty exciting.
And what
always
else?
Good to see a close race. A lot of them.
Oh, it's great. As a photographer, we talked about this. There's nothing more exciting than a close race.
Yeah.
Arms in the air, celebration. I mean, he didn't really celebrate because he was too busy trying to race, but it was a great close race.
Yeah, I think one of them almost fell down, but I don't know. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty exciting. Good to see something come down to the wire and have fun, So some of these races are just they're a bit preordained, anything can happen, of course, in a race, but there's some favorites in some of them, much like the 3A boys and 3A girls race with Sophia Rodriguez and Owen Powell, just kind of taking those pretty easily. I mean, I think Owen took it easy in that race. It seemed to me for the first two laps, he kind of let the other people set the pace. And with 800 meters to go, he decided, it's time to get out front. And then with about 400 to go, he really kind of went. But and I think he set a meet record as well.
He ran 4:03. And yeah. I mean, I think you and a couple other photographers after 800 meters were kind of saying, well, I guess he's not going to get the meet record. And I didn't realize he had the meet record until he knelt by the
The sign.
The scoreboard sign. That's I went, oh, wait a minute. He might have gotten a meet record.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, he probably could have gone sub-4 in that race if he had gone from the gun. But, you know, he's got a lot of racing coming up. I imagine he's got to be a little conservative and
Right.
save his legs for, you know, for Brooks. And I guess maybe, I don't know, does he do Nike Outdoor Nationals? I'm not even sure what his schedule looks like.
I don't know either, but I know he's doing Brooks PR. Yeah, so that's coming
yeah,
up
that
Sunday.
That should be a fun race. Are you going to be there?
I will not be there, so I will look forward to seeing your photos.
Yeah. Now, the 800 is going to be a crazy race.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of great races.
Yeah. So that was pretty exciting. Of course, you know, the girls' side, you know, Sophia went out and dominated. I think one of the things surprising in that race was her sister did not do real well. And, you know, Victoria's had a great year this year. And, you know, maybe she's been sick. I know there's a lot of bugs been going around and kids have been, you know, battling colds. I know it went through our school right around the time that all these important races were going on, and you just, you know, you can't really time that. So
no,
that was unfortunate.
Yeah, that happened also at the went to the California State Meet, and that happened to one of the prominent runners. And then the Oregon State Meet, another really superstar runner fell ill too. And it's just, you feel bad because you're not like a high school athlete for 20 years, and that's just, you can just try again the next year. And so you can try again, but you only have a handful of years where you're only in high school for 4 years, but then you might be only like really a state champion possibility, maybe 1 year or 2 years. So
yeah,
feel bad for kids when they don't run well in those big meets.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I know my sister-in-law lives out in Yakima, you know, and the Eisenhower coach there, she was telling me that even before COVID, she used to encourage the boys on the cross-country team, especially in cross-country, because it's a team sport and you really need like all of the kids to be healthy come state. You know, if you lose one or two of your top runners and you're a contender, then, you know, you're out. And so pre-COVID, he used to encourage the boys and girls to wear masks to school to stay healthy. And I was like, really? Like before COVID? And he was like, yeah, before COVID, they were like, you know, he was trying to keep the kids from getting sick. And like 2 weeks out, they were masking up, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, he's ahead of schedule on that. You know, it's the fact that kids are training on this edge. You know, they're on this edge of like as hard as you can go. And then you're going to school every day and you're in these rooms full of kids that are coughing and sneezing and stuff like that. It's you can get sick, and especially in November when it gets like flu season. Yeah. So that was Thursday. Then we have prelims on Friday in the 800. What were some things that stood out to you on Sunday for the 800 and the 3200?
Well, for the 800, obviously, you know, Owen again setting another meet record. He went sub 150, which was really great for him.
Wow.
You know, he went from the gun on that one. He wasn't like waiting around like he did in the 1600. You know, it's a much shorter race. You got to go. But I'm not so, it'll be different on Sunday when they race again. And one of the other ones that was really pretty awesome race was, I think, was it the 3 or the 4800 with Sienna Johnson? I don't know if you're familiar with
oh,
her.
Oh, yeah. She's from Ballard. That might be 3A, right?
I don't know. Is that 3A or 4A?
I think it's 3A.
She is 3A.
She's a freshman.
Yes, she's a freshman. And she won that 800 as a freshman. And she tied the meet record. So she got a meet record out of it, too. And that was pretty incredible. Like my son, you know, ran the USATF club circuit here in the Seattle area. And Sienna was on the Rain City Flyers growing up. And she's always been a decent runner, but man, she's really taken off in high school and done some fantastic racing. And she's gotten really like big. Like I can tell she's been like lifting weights and doing a lot of strength training and stuff like that. Cause you know, as an 800 runner, you need a lot more of that strength than you do for the distance stuff. And of course, at USATF, they were doing a lot more of the, 16s, 3000s, cross country, which was longer distance. And now that she's in high school, I think she's focused on a little bit going a little shorter and, kind of going for it there. But yeah, that was pretty fun. Always fun to see a young kid do well.
Yeah, it's it's Washington has Owen Powell, and you've got Vince Recupio, and you've got some really Ezra Teeples and his brother. They've Kamaikins had a long tradition. You have these like Cade Brownell, he's run really well for a long time. Alexa Matora has run well for a long time. Anyway, my point is, you have these seniors, and you're like, well, okay, that's a bummer. We're losing all these excellent runners. But then
Who's coming up next?
we always get the next
Yeah.
set, and Sienna looks like
Couple
she's
more.
one of the future stars.
Yeah. And of course, Sophia's gonna be around a while.
Sophomore.
She's just a sophomore,
Right.
I mean,
Right.
she's something else again, too. I think she was pretty disappointed in her racing on Sunday
And she ran the 3200.
in the 32. She just didn't look happy. I think she wanted to get a meet record and she was off it by a bit. But it's really tough when you're running out there all by yourself, and you got to basically, it's a time trial essentially. She was from the gun miles ahead of everybody else. I mean, it was like Sophia would come by and then, you could like check your text messages before the next kids came through. It was quite a bit of a difference in time. And but she I mean, it was too bad for her, I think. I mean, she won. She's a state champion,
Right.
but she's been a state champion numerous times. I think it's sort of, looking for something bigger,
Right. I mean, once right, it, she's probably looking for a certain time and didn't quite get it. Was the weather okay on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, there was I think during her race, it was actually sprinkling a little bit. It
Yeah,
was
I've seen
cool,
photos of that. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a little rain in her race. It rained a little bit here and there, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't windy. The temperature was nice for distance runners,
Okay.
wasn't warm. And then the sun came out later on, so, for the 3200s at state here in Washington, they do like they split them all up,
I saw
like,
that, yeah.
yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, there's a lot of time between them. I guess I'm not really sure what the logic is behind it, but I think they do 3A, 4A, and then 2A with a whole bunch of other races in between them. So they're about an hour between each race. I think they're afraid that the audience might get really bored if they had to watch,
That
how many would that
might
be?
be it. If you have six 3200s in a
18
row,
of them. Yeah, you'd have 18 3200s in a row. That would kind
it might be, yeah, you might be. As for distance, the distance person, I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
But maybe as a casual fan, that's probably why they do that. In Oregon, they run all six together, but they do it kind of strategically. They do it at 9 in the morning when people haven't quite shown up yet. And
I think
they
that
used to
makes
do
a
it.
lot more sense because it can be really hot and
Oh, yeah. So what they used to do is they used to do the one gender in the morning and one gender way in the afternoon on the Friday. And at 5 o'clock, it could be really hot and it'd be unfortunate. So now they move them all to the morning and you have six in a row. And, not very many fans are there at that point. So they don't get the fanfare, but they do get the weather, which is nice.
I think they think people like Tavon would prefer the weather.
Yeah. What other events on Saturday do you, distance events that impressed you?
I think the 4A 3200 was fun to watch. I was watching Latham. What's her last name? Latham.
Is it Latham West?
Yeah, Latham West, yeah. And
From Bonnie Lake.
she's kind of been dominating that 4A 3200 category for quite a while. And this year I think she's won a lot of her races and she's a pretty strong runner. She had the fastest time going into the race and she went out from the front and got in front and just pulled everyone along. And there were two Mount Si girls, those the twin girls right behind her,
Yeah.
hang on, and she wasn't able to get rid of them. And I could see with like 2 to 3 laps to go, she started looking a little pained in her face, and I was like, oh no, this is not going well for her. And yeah, she ended up one lap to go. The other girls pulled around her, and she wasn't able to keep up with them. And yeah, it was pretty crushing, I think, for her.
Okay, and so the Cossey girls from Mount Si came through.
They did. They
Yeah.
did.
And then in the I want to mention this young man from the 2A Anacortes.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Dylan Roll. He won this. I was there when he won the 1600.
Right.
I think he had a pretty good weekend. Didn't he win two events?
I think he won two events. He won both events. There were several people that won both the 16 and the 32, or the 8 and the 16. There were a bunch of doubles, but yeah, he had some pretty solid runs. He went out and kind of took that one from the front, I think, the whole time around, and just kind of, there were other people with him, but he just, set the pace and went out and just ran everyone else down. But it was, yeah, he was having a good, and Cade, of course, had a fantastic race.
So Cade Brownell of Mount Spokane, he was trying to chase down Owen Powell on Thursday in the 1600, but didn't have to deal with Owen Powell in the 3200.
Right.
And so what happened in that race?
Well, it was, I think Vince was the favorite to win that race. He had the fastest time going in.
Vince
I think,
Recupio of Bishop Blanchet.
Bishop Blanchet. And, Cade went to the front in the beginning, and he pretty much set the pace for that race and led from start to finish. And he had guys with him the whole time. The first, I'd say, 1600 wasn't that fast. It was pretty bunched up in the front. There was a bunch of guys together, probably, 6 or 8 people for most of that first mile. And then it got a little faster going in towards the end. And, I know that Vince has got a pretty good kick. He's a fast finisher. And I thought, with that slower pace that they went out in the beginning, that it was likely that, Vince was going to win that one. And then coming around the corner on that final stretch, Cade's out front and he is just, going for it. And I could see Vince trying to catch up to him, but he can't do it. And probably with like 20 meters to go, Cade's just, he knows he's won. He doesn't even have to look over his shoulder, and he just got this biggest smile on his face. He was so happy. And it was just like, I think that was my favorite picture of the meet, was that one, his photo coming in, where he just had the biggest smile and was so happy. And it was just like, and then when he came over the line, he was, punching his fists in the air and stuff like that.
Cool.
But yeah, and Cohen Butler had a really nice race in that 3200 too. And I think he lost, didn't he lose to Ezra Peoples in
Yes,
the
he did.
16?
Yes, he's the
Like
one
by a hair, right?
by
So
a hair, yeah, like tenths of
he
a
was
second.
right behind him in that race. And I think this one he was determined to win, and he came across that line, he was really super happy. He was, pumping his fists, and it was,
Well,
quite a celebration.
yeah, I'm looking at his time, 8:56. That's like awesome. I mean, breaking 9 is a big deal for high school boys, but I would say breaking it in a state meet where it can be kind of strategic.
Yeah.
So
And
that's pretty.
there were two of them,
Yeah. So
that
Isaac
South Kitsap
Benjamin,
kid was,
yes.
yeah, it was
South
right there with
Kitsap. And
him.
so as I'm looking at this, I'm trying to think now, I'm trying to like project into 2026. They're both juniors. That'll be really fun.
Somebody's gonna come for blood, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I'm just seeing a lot of boys, a lot of really solid senior boys in this group of kids. And like, okay, well, what happens next year? Well, now we know we've got Isaac Benjamin of South Kitsap and Cohen Butler. And Isaac Benjamin ran in the 1600 also. They'll be back.
Yeah.
And they'll be faster and they'll be stronger. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I think Cooper Boyle did some serious pace setting in that race too, in the 4A race behind Cohen and Isaac. Well, earlier in the race he was up front pushing pretty hard, and he looked good. But Cohen, I think, was sitting and waiting.
Yeah.
He was playing his strategic games. Like, I'm not going out front breaking the wind. I'm gonna, hang back and go for it here. But, my favorite races are always the ones where the kids have, they come across the line and they're just excited and
Yeah.
big smiles. And it's
Right.
like, it's kind of, there's some kids that come across the line and, they click their watch and walk off.
Yes.
And it's like, really? I mean, you just won a, that was your second state championship. And you're just sort of like ho-humming it, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at that as kids being kind of humble and and just and which I think is a good thing, but as a photographer, it's not as exciting as a kid smiling and pumping his fist in the air. Right? That's really fun. And I know that the Strava thing is a big deal, but I don't know if I'll ever, because this will show how old I am. I don't know if I'll ever wrap my mind around the fact that you press your button on your watch on a professionally timed meet.
Yeah.
But I understand that you can look on the app and see that you have the fastest time on that track.
I guess.
Yeah, so it's a little, it's different for me. I'm showing my age. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're GPS were who had those? The military, I think, right?
I don't know anything about that. I used a compass or something.
Know we had Timex
Yeah.
stopwatches.
Well, John, I sure appreciate you coming on, and you're going to be at the Brooks PR this Sunday.
I am.
And
I'm looking forward to that.
yeah, so I'm going to say your Instagram account again, XCTF Photos. So if you are the people in our audience, John, this is West Coast XC. So there's people from Oregon and California listening, and there's Oregonians and Californians racing on Sunday, and
Sure.
they'll be looking, thirsting for photos. So they'll come to your Instagram account at XCTF Photos. And
Yeah.
you have a bio there too that goes to a website that has more photos.
Not usually.
Okay.
I just, it's too
You
much
can,
work.
okay,
I
but
don't know how you find the time, Ken.
I don't know either. I'm a nut, but you can they can DM you if they're looking for a particular photo or something like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're awesome. You're really good at doing that, and your photos are amazing. You do such a great job. The
Thanks.
ultimate professional there. You're fantastic at it.
I
So
have fun
thanks a
doing it,
lot. Well, thank you. Thanks for being on,
All right, you bet.
and have a great Brooks PR.
All right, thanks.
We want to thank all of our guests for coming on. Coach Kawana of Crystal Springs for the California recap. Coach Espenson of the IW Wells for the Oregon recap. And then John Decker of XCTF Photos for his recap of the Washington State meet. And like I said at the intro, we have galleries for the California State meet and the Oregon State meet. And one gallery for the Washington State meet, and you can check out Russell Moore's gallery for the rest of the Washington State meet. This weekend is the Brooks PR. It's one of my favorite meets. In fact, on one of our earlier podcast episodes with our friend Todd in California, I went through my five highlights, and one of my highlights of the year is Brooks PR. But it's usually on a weekday the last few years, and they moved it back to the weekend on Sunday. And unfortunately, I'm going to be in Los Angeles. I'll be taking pictures at the Nike After Dark race, the half marathon at SoFi Stadium. My two daughters are going to be racing in that, so I want to go and support them. It's my understanding that there will be high school athletes at the race too. And so let me know, and I'll try to find you. I'll take some group photos and action photos of you running if your team is running down in Los Angeles. But our friend Russell Moore, who takes great photos, beautiful photos up in the state of Washington, he'll be at the Brooks PR, and we'll get you a gallery of the meet. And of course, John Decker will be there too. That's who we interviewed for the Washington recap, and he'll also be taking pictures too. So there'll be lots of opportunities to take pictures. I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to watch the meet. I really love that meet. It's got some great, it's going to have some great races. So I wish I could be there. Again, if you can follow on the different platforms, Spotify and Apple Podcast, and subscribe on YouTube, that would be great. And based on what we saw last weekend at the state meets, the West Coast is the best coast. See you next time.